Welcome to this Happy Home podcast. I'm Arlene Pellicane. Wondering how to connect to your son or daughter, even when they're teens and tweens? Need help because you feel stuck as a mom in an endless cycle of work, chores, and homework? Well, author Dana Gresh is here to help us reset and connect with our kids. Well, it is my honor to have author Dana Gresh on the podcast today. She is the founder of Pure Freedom, an amazing program for teens, and also Secret Keeper Girls for tweens and their moms. And I have attended a Secret Keeper Girl event with my girl. She was 8 years old, and I sat in that audience, and I bought the pink hair for her with lights in it, and she wore it, and we had ourselves an experience. And I'm telling you what, I connected with my daughter Noelle at that Secret Keeper Girl event, and Dana Gresh has done such an amazing job of creating events and resources for parents to keep connecting, to keep talking, to keep their children pure, and I just love what Dana is doing. Her books include And the Bride Wore White, Six Ways to Keep the Little in Your Girl, and Six Ways to Keep the Good in Your Boy. Her and her husband, Bob, and her have three children, and today we're going to talk about how you can become a happier mom. I interviewed Dana for my book, and we're going to begin with the power of prayer. You know, the War Room movie is going to be coming out on August 28th, and I highly recommend it, and it's going to show you powerfully the role of prayer in a marriage and in a home. And I believe prayer is so central to our lives as moms. So let's start off, and we're going to talk a little bit about moms in prayer with Dana Gresh.
Tell me, as we begin, just with moms in prayer, your involvement with moms in prayer and the role that being in that prayer group has, how that has helped you. Because I know a lot of moms don't know about that, or they're not sure if they can make that kind of time commitment to join a group. What kind of difference did it make for you as a mom?
It's sort of just sort of a reset button each week.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's easy to say you want to be a praying mom, but it's hard to carve the time out.
Yeah.
Being in a Moms in Prayer group schedules it into your week. And the wonderful thing about the format is it is a one-hour commitment, mm-hmm. not a minute more.
Yeah.
And yet what happens in that hour is so powerful. We've seen children come to know the Lord. We've seen children physically healed. We've seen hard hearts healed. We've mm-hmm. seen just the most amazing things
yeah.
as we pray together for our children. You know, it's interesting because I wanted to be a praying mom. I have a praying mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know the power of it and the importance of it, but I was really struggling on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to get a group together to pray with my high school. And I met Fern Nichols, the founder of Moms in Prayer, and I was telling her that for 3 or 4 years I had struggled to get a prayer group together, and it just didn't work. And she said to me, "Have you prayed about it?" And I was like, not really, no.
That's very funny.
So she said, "Stop trying to make it happen and just ask God to do it."
Mm-hmm.
So I just prayed for, I think, maybe 2 or 3 months. And 2 or 3 months after that, another mom came up to me and said, "I want to start a moms in prayer group." And I was like, "What?"
How funny. My goodness.
I just prayed about it and it happened. And that was about 5 years ago.
And
it was just great.
And once that prayer group started, you know, what kind of confidence did that give you as a mom with your kids in high school and college?
I'm not quite sure how to say that. It just,
mm-hmm.
it makes me feel like God's got it covered.
Yeah.
And it's not that he doesn't.
Right.
It's just that 1 hour a day with my other friends who pray for their kids reminds my spirit
mm-hmm.
that God's got this.
Yeah.
Even when I don't.
Talking a little bit about the difference between raising boys and raising girls, because you have it with your personal experience and then you have it accentuated in your book writing. So
mm-hmm.
give that mom who is raising a boy just some advice of how can you connect with a boy. And what's that special role you have as a mom to connect with your boy?
Well, I think you connect with him in different ways, but
yeah.
you can connect with him just as powerfully. One of the things that my son and I did. Like, I always tried to figure out what kind of foods he liked.
Right. That's totally how my son would be. He's 10 years old.
I'm not a sports girl, so yeah. I was never going to watch football with them. Some moms connect with their sons that way, and it's really cool. They have a team, and they wear the jersey together, and it doesn't really matter what your thing is. It just matters that there is a thing. And so for Robbie, that was always kind of figuring out what foods does he love, and either I make them or when he was in middle school, I took him to this restaurant in town to get this thing called a killer cookie because it was this huge, enormous, hot chocolate chip cookie smothered in ice cream and fudge, and it was just amazing. And so food was a language sort of that we had, a thing that we shared. But whether it's a son or a daughter, any kind of tradition, whether it's an ongoing tradition or just like a seasonal tradition, for us, the killer cookies were a seasonal tradition. It was something something that we did in his middle school years.
Yeah.
And another thing we did in his middle school years was laser tag. Now, that was the whole family was involved. Uh-huh. But, it, you know, I'm not a football girl, but put me on a laser tag field and watch out because I'm going to hurt you.
That's right.
And so it's just being intentional about finding those. Laser tag was our family thing.
Yeah.
During those years.
Yeah.
How we connected.
Is there an ongoing thing that you have done with any of the kids?
Laser tag was sort of the middle school years.
Yeah.
And then in high school, we bought a really broken down speed boat. And he really, it's broken down more than it's not.
That is so
funny.
But
it's, you know, we made going out on the boat was more our thing in the high school years.
Yeah.
And I think with each stage of development, your children change so much, don't you think, that you have to sort of change those seasonal traditions? Mm-hmm. Like, we have traditions that we've done our whole life that the kids have grown up in. Like, we get our Christmas tree on Black Friday every year, and it's like more important than Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, really, in terms of our family connecting, because that's just our thing. We make a big breakfast, we go conquer the forest and cut down a tree, and we come back and decorate it, and we laugh a lot.
Yeah.
And we always play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer that day, because we're classy like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that tradition still, in their young adult years, we're still doing it. And Bob and I started that before we even had babies.
Wow.
But not all traditions are like that. Some of them, parents need to have the wisdom to know that this tradition connects us. This killer cookie, going out for killer cookies, connects us. But he's probably not going to want or have time to do that in high school. And you know what? That's okay. We'll move on to the next seasonal tradition.
Yeah. So it's being intentional about how can we connect during this stage of our child's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for boys, I think you have to be more intentional. If you're a mom, you have to be more intentional with boys. If you're a dad, you have to be more intentional with girls, because the connecting points don't happen quite as naturally.
Yeah.
So you just have to be real decided about it.
Yeah.
And one of the things moms, I think, need to know is that, you know, I think up until our kids are about 10 years old, we don't really look at them. Certainly we look at them as boys and girls, and there's a gender there, and the girls are doing more girly things and the boys are doing more boyly things. But, you know, in all, my daughter played soccer and my son played soccer.
Right.
My daughter made chocolate chip cookies with me. My son made chocolate chip cookies with me. It's kind of in those tween years that we start to really, and they start to really be more gender sensitive.
Yeah.
And one of the things moms need to know is that your son goes through hormonal changes then, just like your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They just manifest differently.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughters, we know they're going to cry, right? We
know
they're going to have cramps. We know they're going to get grouchy, and we know it's going to happen once a month.
Yeah.
But boys, we don't really realize that they have hormones too, and they're just as powerful, and they're creating just as many emotional changes, but they just manifest differently. Boys tend to be more assertive and aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, when my son was in middle school, he was body slamming me, and I was like, honey, like, said to my husband, what is wrong with this kid? Like, suddenly he's violent. He's like, oh, no, babe, those are love slams. It's like, oh, right? What do I do with them? So I think moms need to be really aware that the way they attach to their son, mm-hmm. you know, he wasn't cuddling with me anymore. He was doing body slams because his hormones were out of whack.
Yeah.
He was doing them the same reason that my daughter was crying, because her hormones were out of whack. And so it's really important in those years when hormones kick in to realize that I'm still connecting. It's just that they're figuring out how to handle their hormones,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Why is it important for a mom to reset?
Oh, because we'll go crazy if we don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's motherhood is a period like nothing else in your life. When your kids are in the house, especially, I think, those early years, but it changes because once they start to be able to function and do things, then they want you to drive you to stuff like soccer and dance.
Right.
So your schedule is just never, there's never natural reset time. There's there's not really downtime for you to just kind of take inventory and say, how am I doing?
Yeah.
And so I think planning that into your heart gives your spirit an atta girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says, hey, you know, I'm doing okay. You know what? This week went all right.
Yeah.
It was a blur, but when I look back over it, handled this well, handled that well.
Yeah.
And when I'm praying, God's spirit is telling me I did this well. But then there's other times, like two nights ago, I'm praying through Fern Nichols' book. I'm supposed to be praying for my kid when I read the little Devo. But God, it was a reset moment for me because God confronted my heart about how I'd handled something with one of my kids a couple days earlier, and I was like, I need to go back and fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think those, either whether it's a prayer meeting or accountability coffee, that it gives you that time to go back and say, well, that I didn't do that so well.
Yeah.
So I need to go back, and I'm big on telling my kids, I'm sorry. Mommy didn't handle that well. And I shouldn't have yelled. I need to ask you to forgive me. That was wrong. And just going back and resetting. But a lot of times, if we don't take the time to reset, either in prayer or just quiet or accountability, life's too busy.
Yeah.
And you never do.
Yeah.
All right, Mom. So how are you going to reset? Are you going to join a Moms in Prayer group, a weekly group? I highly recommend that. Are you going to have a coffee date with a friend, some accountability? Are you going to have time at the end of the day where you maybe journal a sentence or two about what happened with your kids? Have that regular time of saying, oh God, search me. And is there anything that I have done that I need to ask forgiveness for or fix with my children? Lord, is there a place where I'm being rebellious to you, where I know you're calling me to do something and I just plain won't do it? Because if we have those times to reset, we will be closer to God and we'll be closer to our kids. I love what Dana Gresh has had to say. And if you want to learn more about her and her ministry and her books, you can go to purefreedom.org. And of course, I interviewed Dana with many other wonderful women like Fern Nichols, the Moms in Prayer founder, for my book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. And that might be a way for you to reset. If you've read my other books, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife or a Happy Husband, you know that the chapters are easy to read, that they're short, there's prayers there, there are action steps, and it's something really easy to do. And that might be a great way for you to have that space to reset on your own as you consider each chapter, or perhaps with a friend as you use the discussion questions at the end of 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. I also want to challenge you to quiet your technology, that let there be times in your day where you're not holding your phone and you're not looking at a screen, and it will be easier for the Lord to speak to you and for you to speak to Him. On your calendar, put it on there, the War Room movie. It comes out August 28th. I previewed it, and it's fabulous. It's really, really good. Well, next month, we will have another engaging podcast for you to help you connect with your kids. So until then, remember, you too can have a happy home.